That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the ruler of this age. Who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the ruler of this age understood it, for it is they had. They would have not crucified the law of glory. However, as it was written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searching all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the soul of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in works taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to all men's judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Yes, Father, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We thank you that you have saved us. We thank you that your word is for us. So, Father, we pray that you encourage us this morning, please, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can please keep that reading open in front of you, we're going to spend the rest of the time looking at that. And there's a very brief outline on that pink sheet of paper. You can follow that, or if you want to take notes, you could do that also. On Friday, just last Friday, we had our kids' club. And after kids club, we had 8 kids, and after kids club, we were just farewelling the kids, and the parents usually come and they talk to us, they spend some time, and there's this one mum who stayed back, and she regularly comes to our community dinners when we have that. She was comparing or contrasting our community dinners to her previous work functions. She liked the way that we sit together at our community dinners, all sit and eat and enjoy a good conversation. And she remembered how at her work functions, where they have separate tables, like, and on the tables you'll have a sign saying VIP, which means very important people or persons. And there are other tables which says VIPs, very, very important persons. She was very upset because she didn't want to be segregated And those who sit on these VVIPs or VIP tables probably had lots of money. They were rich, they were influential, they were wise, they had good social standings. And she said, in these tables, they even get different food, good food. They had good drinks than the rest. And if you are in corporate world, you would definitely had come across these kind of segregation or divisions. As we saw last week from the letter to the Corinthians, which Paul wrote, Paul has been encouraging the Corinthian church not to have these sorts of divisions. Not to have these sorts of divisions in the church. Divisions based on human abilities and standards. People have begun to line up behind various teachers and leaders, depending on their ability to speak, their eloquence of speech, the influence that they had. Perhaps behind those who performed powerful miracles had the majority following. And Paul spends the first four chapters of this, the first letter to the Corinthians, dealing with this important issue of division, trying to address this issue of division. If you were here last week, the first solution Paul offers to the church at Corinth is to focus on the message of the cross. Because the message of the cross does not divide. You may remember, the message of the cross does not give glory or give room for people to boast. It's God's work from the beginning to the end. No human wisdom can take glory for the cross. The benefit from the cross, the message of the cross, requires no money. It doesn't require to have a status in the community. It does not require for us to be influential. Certainly no need of a degree in theology to be saved. It requires simple faith. Simple faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And finally, we looked at last week, the message of the cross is preached and brought to us by weak, unsophisticated human messengers. And it's the sight of this cross, at the foot of the cross, everyone stands on level ground. This morning, the passage that Paul is writing to the Corinthians continues to talk about unity, because it's within the four chapters. And it talks about unity which comes from having true wisdom. True wisdom. Where do we get true wisdom? Paul has been telling the Corinthian church the message that he speak, the message of wisdom of God, is actually foolishness to the wise of this world. And chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, Paul came to this port city of Corinth, and his message was not with superior wisdom, he says. Or he didn't speak an eloquent message like the Corinthian philosophers or scholars, the debaters that they highly respected. In fact, he was weak. He was trembling when he came to this city with fear. The only message he knew and he preached was Jesus Christ and him crucified. That sinless Jesus died on a cross to take the punishment for our sin. That on the cross Jesus was the substitute. Now that if we believe in Jesus, God forgives our sins and we can be friends with God again forever. This message, Paul says, was a stumbling block for the religious Jews. And it was foolishness to the wise Greeks. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it. But this same message has saved many from darkness into light. This same message brings life to the dead. This same message brings hope to the hopeless. This same message decides where we would spend eternity, with God or without God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, it says, to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. But for those who are perishing, it is foolishness. Although it is foolishness to the wise of this age, here in verses 6 to 10 of chapter 2, Paul wants us to understand that this message by no means is a foolish message. Don't get him wrong. Verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Paul is not talking about a special elite group within the church who are mature. Mature here are those who have the ability to grasp the message of the cross. Those who love God, later in verse 9. In verse 12, they are the ones who have received the Spirit of God. In verse 16 of the same chapter, those who have the mind of Christ. The mature are the ones who have become Christians by believing in Jesus, including you and me. And Paul wants the believers to understand that he has preached and they have believed in something so phenomenal. Something so phenomenal. Look at verse 6. Paul says, this wisdom is not from this age, nor of the rulers of this age. We made that point last week, didn't we? The message of the cross did not originate from earth. The philosophers, the wise men, the religious did not think of it. No one thought of it. It's not from this time and space. No one can take credit for the cross. Paul says, compared to the wisdom of God revealed in the cross, the best rulers of this age, at their best, comes to nothing. Because when they crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus, in verse 8, they did not understand what they were doing. None of them knew who Jesus was. It proved that their wisest rulers came to nothing. The second thing Paul says about this phenomenal message is in verse 7. The message of the cross is God's secret wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden. It was hidden in the Old Testament times. It was hidden even when Jesus was actually on earth. And it's still hidden from some people. People can't see it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit planned and decided that the cross is the answer for the problem of sin. They agreed that Jesus is going to come into this little town in Bethlehem, and he would grow up and he would die on a cross as a substitute for us, and to take the punishment for our sins, to forgive us, to make us holy, to bring us into glory. And Jesus is the only way to God. And we go and tell this to our friends on the street, and we go and tell this to our friends at work and our friends at uni, and they look at us. And they say, get out of here. That's a load of rubbish. That does not make sense. It does not balance. Jesus is God? Can't be. I can see he is a good teacher, yes, a wise man, yes, a guru, yes, a miracle worker, yes, I like his teaching, yes, but God? No. Savior of the world? No. How can you say that he is the only way to God when there are so many other religions saying the same thing? People do see the empty cross. They do see the empty tomb. People hear the good news of Jesus over and over again, but still can't see God's plan of salvation, still can't comprehend what this means. And we wonder why some of our friends and family still haven't got it. Why? You heard Paul say, it's a mystery. It's hidden from the world. It's too wonderful for human mind. It does not fall into any formulas that we might want to put. It doesn't fall into any boxes that we have. It's hidden. It's a mystery. And thirdly, at the end of verse 7, it's something God planned before time began. Now think about that. The Trinity in union, they planned the cross much, much, much before the Romans thought about the cross. Much before Adam and Eve were even created. Even before the time began. Just try to imagine that. Just try to imagine that a time before time began. How can there be a time before the time began? And there was no time. Just thinking about it makes me having a headache. Where was I? You just wonder, where did the clock started ticking? And this is what we sang earlier, didn't we? You're beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard, who can grasp his infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of his love? And the only appropriate response to this awesome, phenomenal message is to stand in awe of God's majestic wisdom. And Paul wants the readers to understand, this is how big, how gigantic, how awesome, how phenomenal. This is what you have believed. This is what we have preached. This is the wisdom that we are talking about. God's wisdom. And Paul wants us to know as well that we didn't work out these things in our own mind. We didn't have a formula, as I said earlier. We didn't put a computer program together and then we press enter and it comes, oh, God's great. No, it didn't happen. Verse 10. But God revealed this unfathomable wisdom to us by His Holy Spirit. Now, note that we didn't work it out. God revealed. It had to happen from outside. It didn't happen from us. It had to happen from outside. And it happened because the Spirit of God, verse 10 with the capital S, which means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, revealed it to us. And Paul says it's like this. He gives an illustration. Well, I can't tell you now what you're thinking. I can have a guess. You might be saying, oh, Dylan, finish the sermon. I need to go and have special morning tea. Is that true? Did I have a good guess? Maybe. But in reality, verse 11, Paul says, no one knows a man's thoughts except his spirit. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows. No one knows what God is thinking right now. No one can understand the message of the cross except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, those who have believed in Jesus have this special privilege. The special privilege of the Spirit of God dwelling in us. The Spirit who searches everything of God. The Spirit who knows everything of God is actually given to us by God so that we may understand freely what God has given us. So we may understand what God has given us freely. Can you get what Paul is saying? Christians have been given this awesome privilege of knowing God's secret wisdom. There's something in us that connects us to God. There's something in us that reveals the mystery of God. Now, those in Christ Jesus can access God's secret wisdom. It's like this bank card. It's got this sign to say it's PayPass. Right? This is a card. You go to the shops and you just wave that on this machine and then it takes everything that you have. I mean, literally. Because in this card has all your details. It got your personal details. It got your money. So when you tap it, it takes everything. Because it has something in that machine to extract all your details, including your money. Which means something similar in us. God has given us His Spirit to us so we can know God's heart. When we read God's Word, we can know God's heart. We come into a passage and we read that God is going to be with us forever. And the Spirit tunes us into God and says, yes, that's true. So now we can understand what God has freely given us. His love, His forgiveness, His grace, His eternal life, His justice. And further, Paul says, because of the Spirit of God lives in us, verse 13, we can speak this wisdom of God. Because the Spirit of God gives us the words to express spiritual truths in spiritual words. In other words, like Paul, like the apostles, like all the evangelists, this message of the cross, we can speak to others, trusting in God to give us wisdom. The words to speak, the sensitivity to understand people, trusting in God to do that. Verse 15, now that we have access to God's unfathomable wisdom through His Spirit, Paul says, the spiritual man cannot make any judgments, or the spiritual man can make judgments on all things. The meaning here is to do with the ability to examine or investigate or test things. The ability to compare our ways with God's ways, to make the right choice, the right decision. We can now depend on a higher wisdom than our own understanding. This privilege is ours because we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And naturally, the man who does not have the Spirit of God, will not understand the spiritual things. The spiritual things that we do, it's like gibberish to them. Verse 14, the man without the Spirit of God cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritual things, and without the Spirit, it is, as I said, gibberish for them. It's foolishness for the unspiritual or the non-spiritual person. And verse 16 ends with this powerful statement. Because we have the Spirit of God, we have the mind of Christ. We are given the ability to live by the principles of Christ's life. Live like Jesus, to be like Jesus as we live our lives. Jesus was obedient to His Father. He humbled Himself to die on a cross for others. So we are to live in humbleness, in obedience to the Father. Jesus' life was governed by love. Selflessness, humility, so should our lives. Our lives under the guidance of the Holy Spirit should reflect Jesus. And our communities should reflect Jesus, the way we live. So how can we apply these 10 verses or so into our lives? I think it's a good time to remind ourselves at this point in time in this letter. Paul is not telling, well, the Corinthian church has got all this. Right? Rather, Paul is telling, this is how it should be for the spiritual person. Because in chapter 3, we'll look at next week, he will show how far the Corinthian church has fallen from the ideal. But first, since everyone who has believed in Jesus has received the same Spirit of God, there's no division, there's no room for division. There are no VIPs or VVIPs in God's church. Regardless of where we come from, regardless of our language we speak, the race that we were brought up in, the skin color, how long we have been Christians, regardless of all these, we are one because we've got the same Spirit revealing the same God to us. We all have access to God through the same Spirit. We may have different roles in the church, we may have various gifts, but later in chapter 11, Paul will spend time talking through how all these gifts should work together to build the church. Because it's the same Spirit who gives gifts to people. The Spirit of God also gives us access to the mind of Christ, as we saw earlier, to see everyone else as Christ sees, to love as Christ loved, to be gracious to one another as gracious Jesus has been. The dwelling of the Spirit has enabled us to have a new awareness of God. Christians bring God into all aspects of our life, or we should. When doctors' reports come and we know it's not good, when the future seems not certain, the job front's not stable, what do? We pause and pray. We send a prayer request through the prayer chain. When we are at a life crossroad, we pause to read God's word. We talk to mature Christians and get their advice, and we pray because we have an awareness that God owns whole of our life. That awareness comes from the Spirit of God. When we sit to have lunch or dinner or breakfast, we pause to pray and give thanks. Why? Because we have that awareness God is the one who provides. And for those of us who have not yet believed in Jesus, I think there is a bit of a rebuke here. The wisdom behind the message we speak, that Christ died, rose again to forgive our sins, that when we believe in Jesus, God accepts us as his friends, that when we believe in Jesus, we become holy. This message is not a foolish message. None of this can be understood by our human mind. We can't put together a formula or a computer program or do whatever the maths and come to a conclusion, yep, that's right. That's not going to happen. It will never happen. If you're waiting till everything becomes clear, you'll have to wait an eternity. Because you got eternity's worth of wisdom to consider. But God says, he's given us the ability through the Holy Spirit. The help is available for those who seek, those who are willing to tell God, yep, I can't understand it. Yep, I need help. Could you please help me to understand? And God will graciously grant you His Spirit, who will lead you into the truth. And the truth will set you free. I think at the same time, as individuals, we need to thank God for this gracious gift of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Without God's Spirit in us, we would not know God's will for our lives. Without God's Spirit prompting us, we would not know what is sin and what is not. Without God's Spirit ministering to us, we would not know His peace, the assurance. Surely we would not understand God fully. We won't be able to know the depths of God's love, His sovereignty. We won't be able to know what it means for God to be omnipresent, to be present everywhere at the same time. We wouldn't know what it means for the Trinity to exist together as one God. We wouldn't know. But just because we don't know, we don't lose sleep. We don't worry, oh, I don't know where God is. We wouldn't worry, oh, how the Trinity is going to work. No, we have that peace in us. That peace is a peace that God gives us through His Spirit. Yep, I can understand, but God is there. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. He's all knowing. That peace God gives us, so we can be thankful. So this morning, let me encourage you to think and be thankful for the gift of Spirit in us and stand amazed at His glory. Father, we thank You for the wisdom, unsearchable, unfathomable wisdom that we can't even imagine. But Father, we thank You that Your Spirit reveals us Your grace and Your mercy, and He reveals You to us. Father, I pray for those of us who still haven't accepted the inability to know God through our human understanding. Father, I pray, be gracious and let Your Spirit minister to our brothers and sisters. Father, I thank You that Your Spirit comforts us, Your Spirit guides us, Your Spirit is available to us to give us Your wisdom into day-to-day lives. Lead us, we pray, in whatever situation that we are in today and in the days to come. That Father, that we will honor You and we will live lives that will give glory to You. And this morning, we pray that the grace and the love and the fellowship of the Father, Spirit, and the Son be with us now and forevermore. Amen.